Blog Talk Radio.
Talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinion. And if you have an opinion, a number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. Or you can send email messages to the show at gofort.gan@gmail.com. That's gofort.gan@gmail.com. Jeremy?
Paulie?
How are you, sir?
What's doing, man? What's doing?
Long
time no speak.
Just another day, another opportunity.
Hey, happy new year, Paul.
Yeah, same to you.
Thanks. You know, thanks.
Anyone else that's celebrating new year? Today. But it's that time of the year, and summertime is over. The unofficial end of summer ended on Labor Day this past Monday. Now it's time for the NFL to come on back, and a lot of people are excited about that. I mean, another year where at this point of the year, everybody feels like they're going to win the Super Bowl, and everybody feels like they're going to go to the playoffs and have successful seasons. You know, once football gets started, once the year gets started, the dreams all crash. We're expected to be joined by 11-time Pro Bowler, former NFL tackle Willie Rofe, who's actually in New Orleans right now, and where season will jump off tomorrow with the Vikings and the Saints. But Willie's going to stop on by, preview this NFL season, give us his thoughts and how he feels about this upcoming NFL season. I mean, a lot of different storylines out here, and should be interesting to see how this thing plays out. But it gets started tomorrow in New Orleans, so it should be a happy time for a lot of people. You happy, Jeremy? You happy about this upcoming NFL season?
I mean, you know, not if you're an Eagles fan, but I mean, it could be worse. Certainly, I mean, it's always it's like you said, this is a good time of year. Bills are doing well. And then certainly the NFL, it looks like should be at least an entertaining season, and see what happens. If anything else, the free agency, I think, year to year at least, does a good job of as you say, keeping football on the radar from day one. It's exciting to see, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson on a new team. You know, can he make one or two good years? Could he be the guy that the Jets really needed? Are the Bengals this year, because of the acquisition of T.O., are they going to be the St. Louis Rams of you know, 5 years ago? Could that be possible for them? Could they put lightning in a bottle?
Well, I mean, you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, and that's a team that I'm very high on. And with the additions of T.O. and the additions of Jordan Shipley, the third wide receiver, and the tight end, Jermaine Gresham. And, of course, with Cedric Benson already in the mix and Carson Palmer. I mean, that was a team defensively that played well. They have a very good secondary, two great corners. And that's a team that was 10-6 last year and won their division. And I think it's a team that's going to do better this year. I really do. I mean, this is a team that has a lot of talent, and especially with adding T.O. to the mix, and you already have Chad Ochocinco and the rest of those boys. I mean, Carson Palmer did not have a great season last year. He really didn't. Wasn't one of his better seasons. And but he has an opportunity now. He's got more weapons at his disposal. And he had weapons last year. I mean, Cedric Brunson had a great year for those boys. And, again, they have some weapons there, and I expect Carson Palmer to have a bounce-back year for the Cincinnati Bengals. And
I think this is a make-or-break year for his career, too, Paul. I mean, this is a year where, unless there's a major injury, for Carson Palmer, I think this, you're not going to get a team that certainly has this much offensive output in turnability. They are five receivers deep. They have arguably two pretty good running backs. I mean, a good tight end and a solid defense. This is a team that, I mean, did not hit a championship game for them. This is a major disappointment.
Well, this is a team definitely that many, and they have to, like you said, they have to make and take that next step. And that next step is the Super Bowl, I believe. And they went out in the first round, lost to the Jets. And it was a team I thought that with these additions now and with the weapons that they have and the solid defense that they have, I think this is a year that they have to put it together. And this is a year they may put it together. I really see good things out of them. I think, you know, just looking at that division as well, if you look at the Steelers, I think that's a team that may take a step back. Like I said, we talked about it last week, their schedule for the first few weeks, and that schedule to me is a schedule that's going to give them problems. It's going to be tough for them to take that next step with that schedule, and especially with Ben Roethlisberger missing the four games. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger is a top 10 quarterback, and Dennis Dixon's going to be the guy replacing him, and Dixon's the guy who's shown some ability, some scrambling ability, but he's raw. He's still a fairly raw quarterback, and it's going to be. If I'm a Steelers fan, I'm a little nervous, and I think that's the team that's going to take a step back this year. Again, they start out with Atlanta, a team that I think is going to definitely be a playoff team. They have Atlanta, they have the Titans next week. They go to Tennessee, and that's a game I think they will lose. They play Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that's a game, again, I think they should win, but you never know. But it's a game they should win. And they finish off with the Ravens at home. So some people are saying 2-2, but I see 1-3 there, and I think, again, that's going to be a team that's going to take the step back. And also look at the Philadelphia Eagles as another team that will also take a step back. That schedule's murder. That's a murder schedule there. I mean, you got the Titans, you got the Rams. I'm not the Rams, excuse me, you got the Colts.
I mean, I think you're making too much of the schedule and not enough of the players. I think even with McNabb, and I mean this, even with McNabb, I just think there were a lot of problems last year. With McNabb, this team is still not, they're not going to be able to be the caliber of the other teams in the NFC that certainly have those abilities. They're not. They can't be.
Well, Donovan actually makes a difference for them if he was on that roster, but that schedule, like I said, that schedule, what you're saying is no matter if they have McNabb or without McNabb, with that schedule, it's going to be tough for them.
Well, yeah, I mean, and not just that, Paul, I think this team – it's going to be tough for themselves. It's a team in a growth mode. I mean, they turned the whole basically roster over positionally. The defense, I still say, even with McNabb, even with a good Westbrook, this defense is too young. And now they brought in like guys like Ernie Sims, who they think are going to be able to fill gaps, but they really don't have any secondary. Their defensive line is suspect at best. So they maybe have an average linebacking core, but it's not going to get it done when they have no front and no back behind them.
And I just think it's a team in a lot of ways that have tried to – I mean, they didn't say it, but it's a team that's rebuilding. It's a team that's rebuilding. Anytime you go to a younger quarterback, you should expect a lot of mistakes. And Kevin Cobb is going to make his mistakes. But you're a guy who has said on this air that you believe that Kevin Cobb will have a good year and that he will have a better year, actually, than one Donovan McNabb.
Well, I never said he's going to have a good year. I said he's going to have a better year than McNabb, and
So you're basically saying McNabb is going to have an abysmal year, is what you're telling me.
Well, again, I'm not going to say McNabb's going to have an abysmal year. He's not going to have as good a year as Cobb.
I think, in terms of, look, you want me to go out there and say, what do I think? If you're asking me then more directly, what's McNabb's year looking like, shaping like? Well, look at him, Paul. They got the guy featured on SportsCenter this morning basically having to talk about Albert Haynesworth and about how, you know, the team is just, it's a bit, in terms of where it's at, because of this offseason, there's no continuity. It doesn't matter what happens. Walking in game one, it's a circus show. Not to mention, I still say, who is this man throwing the ball to other than the tight end?
Well, I mean, Santana Moss is in the mix, and you have a very good running game there.
No, Paul, you don't have a good running game. You have a lot of guys on that team that were. I mean, look, Portis is good, but obviously he's, you know, hurt every year, banged up quite often. I mean, come on, Larry Johnson has proven to be one thing, you know, and that is a problem. Sure, he had talent, but the guy's a problem. And the knock on Larry was going to be, could his body take the wear and tear, of all those carries? And the answer to that is obviously no.
Well, again, Mike Shanahan and his system, Mike Shanahan and his system throughout the years has had a top flight running game, and his system. It's the system that helped John Elway win a Super Bowl later in his career when he had the likes of a Terrell Davis that he could force feed. And Clinton Porter's getting a little older. Larry Johnson also getting a little older. But guys who have proven in the past that they're legitimate running backs. And one thing he knows about a Mike Shanahan system, no matter the running back, whether it's Mike Anderson, whether it's Terrell Davis, whether it's Orlandis Gary, I mean, these guys, whoever he's set back there, they always found a way to put up the numbers. They always found a way to put up the numbers. And so you got to – when it comes to Mike Shanahan, this is – like I said, this is going to be a perfect situation for Donovan. And this is a guy who's not going to have to do as much as he has to do in the past. And this, I think, could prolong the guy's career. But I think I believe the guy's got a lot of good football left in him. And I think he's going to prove it, and I think he's going to show it this year. And it should be interesting to see what happens. But, I mean, I know a lot of people are alluding to him being banged up and beat up early in the preseason. But, again, he's a guy who is a tough guy, and I just really think the guy has a lot of
no, and I, yeah, I mean, Paul, I agree with you. If you're worried about him and the preseason banging up, that they don't really recognize regionally, I think you and I certainly know, and we've watched him week in and week out play through a lot of injuries that other quarterbacks wouldn't have. My concern for McNabb is just I just think that team isn't here.
So they are a little. The offensive line is questionable, but and the weapons that surrounded him is a little questionable, other than Cooley and maybe Santana Moss and I guess Clinton Portis and Larry Johnson. There's not really much there.
Well, I'm concerned for that, and I'm telling you, Paul, I think a lot of people are going to see, you know, sure, I don't disagree. Shanahan has, in years past, pulled a rabbit out of a hat, if you will, but this is not the O-line that he's used to doing that with. If you remember in Denver, I mean, they had the same O-line for almost a decade. Not this O-line.
Well, that's true, and it's not the same offensive line, obviously. But I got a feeling that McNabb is going to do well this year. We're now being joined by 11-time Pro Bowler, tackle, Willie Rowe. Willie?
I'm here. How you doing?
How are you, sir?
Doing good, man. I'm your correspondent at the Kickoff Ease House of Blues tonight. It's a special event. You got a lot of Hall of Famers, a lot of great athletes in there right now, having a real good time.
And New Orleans is the place to be right now, Willie, as the NFL season kicks off tomorrow night, so it should be exciting.
Oh, it will be, man. I talked to Marcus Allen. I'll name a few. Richard Dent, Eric Dickerson, Jerome Bettis, Eddie George, Joe Horn, Lando Pace, P.J. Brown with me, Mike McKenzie, Dalton Hilliard, Ricky Jackson, Hall of Famer John Randall. That's just to name a few of the guys that are here. And, everybody's having a great time, and it's good to see all of them.
And, yes, it sounds like a great time. Now, we'll start there in New Orleans. Now, Willie, is the Saints, they won the Super Bowl last year. Do you see these guys repeating?
You know what? I haven't really thought about that, but I can. I mean, with the experience they have, if the defense can gel, you know, because they let some guys go and they got a few more new guys, and with that offense back, and I think that offense will be better this year with the big tight end they picked up from Miami that's about 6'7", and they got, you know, their defense is the only thing I'm a little worried about because Sharper's going to be out the first six games, but offensively, I think they're going to be better. They're going to be able to put up more points this year. So, you know, they are hungry, and anytime you have Drew Brees on that team, and you know, I have a story today. When he went to do his ESPN videotaping for that commercial, he was out there throwing balls in the parking lot at the ESPN studios. So, I mean, this guy Drew Brees is the leader of that team, and everybody, he sets the standard for all those guys to come and play every week.
Well, Willie, you know, I think in terms of you being in the league as long as you have and seen many quarterbacks, in my opinion, Drew Brees was and still is, he's just starting now to get the accolades he deserves. But to me, I really think he has been a very underrated player and a certainly underrated quarterback. I see him as one of the top, you know, five quarterbacks in the league. I think, and especially when he was with San Diego, I think that was really, it was a difficult move.
I agree with you, Tony. I mean, I got to Kansas City in 2002, and Drew Brees got to San Diego in 2001, and we played against Drew Brees. And Drew Brees was a hell of a competitor. He was tough, you know. He was tough as nails. I mean, I think at that time when I got to Kansas City with the Broncos and with us in the Chargers, that might have been the toughest division in football at that time. With the Raiders went to the Super Bowl in 2002. So that division was very tough at that time. And Drew Brees, I mean, everybody in the AFC aired it out. And with him and Sean Payton getting together with the mind Sean Payton has with his offensive schemes and the way he can set you up, and Drew Brees navigating it, I mean, the sky's the limit. And Drew Brees, I think Drew Brees, well, he's gotten better at his accuracy. He wasn't as accurate in the system in San Diego as he is in New Orleans. And the problem that San Diego did, that guy was hitting his prime and he climbed, and he had that injury, and they let him go, and they picked up another quarterback. And Drew Brees, they didn't realize the type of competitor and the individual he was and how much he loved to play the game of football. And that's where they misread, you know, as far as managing and letting the guy go.
Now, the Saints are playing the Vikings tomorrow night, and the Vikings with Brett Favre has come back again. I think that's a team that's going to take a step back. I don't think they will get back to the NFC title game. I think they make the playoffs, but I don't think they're the best team in that division. I think the Green Bay Packers are. So how do you see the Vikings this season?
You know, there's a lot of question marks with the Vikings. You know, with the secondary, with the receiver Rice being out, Brett Favre coming in late, the offensive line, you know, issues with pass protection. I don't know if Brett Favre will make it through this season. I agree with you. I don't know if Brett Favre will make it through this season, and they have a lot of issues. I do not think they're ready to come in here and deal with the New Orleans Saints tomorrow on that stage with them getting the rings with those fans. Now, if Adrian Peterson is going to have to carry the load, not Brett Favre this year. If AP can go out there and carry the ball a lot and not turn the ball over and control the clock tomorrow, that will help them a lot in the effort to win that game. But if AP can't go out there and carry the load and they don't protect him up front and get him those holes, they're going to be in a lot of trouble tomorrow.
Oh, I think you hit the nail like right on the head. I mean, this is a season. I said to Paul all last week, for Brett Favre to go out and mirror last year, if you're a Vikings fan and you think that's reality, then you better just keep on drinking because it's far from even a good idea. Peterson, if he come in this season and he can, you know, continue to evolve, the fumbles have to stop, because that's the other thing. Favre has less than 10 interceptions last year. This is a guy that normally is throwing almost, you know, 15, 20 a year, which isn't a bad thing when you're Brett Favre. But now all of a sudden, what are they going to do when he starts turning over the ball and Peterson's fumbling once a game? They'll average, you know, 2 to 3 turnovers a game. You're not winning football games with 2 to 3 turnovers every game.
You know what? I don't see Brett Favre going back to the quarterback that was in Green Bay. I don't see him doing that. I think in Green Bay he was more of a loose cannon. I think he could get away with more things when he was with the Packers, and he did get away with a lot of things. I still say he throws over 20 touchdowns, maybe 10, 15 picks. I don't see him throwing, you know, more picks than this. But, you know, he's not going to be able to just get out. I don't think Brad Childress is going to let him go out there and get out of control and start throwing a lot of picks. I don't see Brad Childress letting him go and get out there and do that. Now, with the last couple, even when he was with the Jets, when he left the Vikings, he had something to prove. I mean, when he left Green Bay, think about it now. When you leave a team, you have something to prove. So I think Brett Favre has something to prove the last 2 years. This year, what does he really have to prove? If he doesn't think he has a squad around him that can perform at the level, and he doesn't have the players around him, and he's worried about that ankle, I mean, it's going to be a lot tougher on him this year. But, I mean, what does he really have to prove this year? You know, he's guaranteed to get that check. Everybody knows he's making a lot of money. And, you know, he's already said this is last year. So, I mean, I think he wants to play good, because I really think it's his last year, and I think he wants to play good because of his pride and the league on a good note. But, I mean, like you said, what does he have to really prove this year if he's going out this year? And if they start getting after him, you know, I want to see him go out on a good note is what my point.
I mean, I think we all would like to see him go out on a good note, but I guess at some point you got to start acting your age. And Brett Favre is a 40-year-old man, so at some point you got to start acting your age. And I think he may start acting his age a little bit more this season. Now, if you look at the NFC right now, Willie, there's been a lot of talk about the Green Bay Packers, and it's everybody's pick right now to go to the Super Bowl. You hear it all the time. Aaron Rodgers is going to take that next step. How do you view the Packers? Do you see that team taking that next step and possibly going to the Super Bowl?
You know what? I see Green Bay is getting far in the playoffs. I don't know if they'll get to the Super Bowl. I mean, can they beat the Saints? Who's going to have home field? If they get home field throughout the playoffs, or if they're playing on grass, they're going to be hard to beat. I will say that.
Right.
But I do see them having a real good year this year. I don't know if they can beat. I think they can split with the Vikings. I don't know if they can beat the Vikings twice. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. I do think the Packers are going to be a playoff team, and I think Aaron Rodgers will look great this preseason, and we'll see. But you know, it's going to be some couple teams that might surprise you. You know, I think Atlanta, people are sleeping on Atlanta. I think Atlanta has a chance to be good this year. And we'll have to see.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You know, I think Atlanta's going to be good. And Matt Ryan is going to have a coming out party. But we'll have to see what happens this year.
Well, this is the year, I think, again, and I said that about, you know, Carson Palmer. But this is, again, Atlanta's year. This is the third year in terms of that system, the quarterback, the running back. Roddy White isn't getting any younger, and there will be decisions that have to be made. There are three, it seems like four really good teams in the NFC, you know, conference in total. And then there are the Jets, you look at the Jets, and then you look at, again, Atlanta, where you're projecting out because the quarterback, it could be a bad year for Sanchez. And Paul's not big on Sanchez. I actually think you don't have to worry about him. I think their defense and the players around him are going to propel him to be a lot better than what maybe the Jets could be.
Yeah, but he's got to stop. I understand. I agree with Paul, though. He's got to stop turning the ball over so much. And, you know, I mean, he's got to go out there and perform. If he just controls the clock and doesn't turn the ball over, I agree with you. They can be excellent. But he's got to stop turning the ball over, and you got to keep the defense honest. He's got to be able to throw the ball down the field to keep the defense honest. Hey, that's why they cut Matt Leonard. You know, if you can't throw the ball downfield, you can't keep the Lakers honest. So, you know, they're gonna, I'm going to tell you what they're going to do. They're going to try Sanchez early, and D coordinators are going to get him to throw the football. And that's what they're going to do. Now, if he can throw the football, he can make them play honest. But that's what they're going to do with the Jets. So the Jets have the most talent, yes. They have the most talent in the AFC. But, you know.
Willie, I don't disagree. I think a lot of what's going to rest on they're either, in my projection for them, is they're either going to do really well or they're going to do really poor. They're not going to have a 10-6 season, and I think it's the running game. I think if their running game can mirror what they did last year, they're a hard team to beat because you're not putting up 20 points on that defense. You cannot go into their games expecting to put points on the board to win. You have to expect to be able, you know, if anything, to keep pace with their defense. Their defense is their offense.
Yeah, I agree with Willie. At some point, Mark Sanchez has to make plays, and I'm not sure if he can make enough plays.
He's got to make plays.
Mark
Sanchez has got to make plays, like he said.
But I think I'm telling you, I really think there are a lot of people that look at him and don't, in terms of, I'm talking about Sanchez, and don't give him a chance to make the plays, especially this year. In this offense, I think if you're going to see a resurgence of LT, it's certainly going to be out of the backfield as a receiver. This is a guy who doesn't need, you know, for Sanchez, who can be a really good safety valve. And they, you know, after week four, when they get him back, then now they're going to have the deep threat. They're going to have a Braylon Edwards. They have a tight end. And LT, to me, coming out of that 7 yards, the backfield 7 yards deep, I think for a safety valve, there may not be a better one in the league.
Yeah, and I think, and I agree with you. I think that LT is going to, he's got something to prove this year, and he's going to be ready to play. Now, but they're still going to have to go over the top. I mean, it's AFC football. They've got to be able to throw the ball down the field. And Sanchez is going to have to make some of them plays, just like when they had LT in training camp, when he came out the slot and went down, was one-on-one with that linebacker, going out on that route to the corner and scored that touchdown. They're going to have to make plays like that, like using him like a Marcus Marshall Faulk or a Ronnie Harmon coming out the backfield. But what I'm saying is, Sanchez is still going to have to complete the ball and make the plays. And I'm telling you, that's where the D coordinators are going after. They're going to go after Sanchez and put the pressure on him to make the offense run.
And like Willie, like I said, like you say, I don't believe the guy can make enough plays. And then him not being able to make those plays is going to cost the Jets. And I don't see them going to the Super Bowl. Actually, I don't see them winning their division. Actually, like the New England Patriots. How do you feel about that, Willie?
I feel good about the New England Patriots. I feel real good about the Patriots, and you know, I like Cincinnati too. I like Cincinnati with all the guys healthy this year. But I don't know if the Patriots will win a division. I don't know if they will win a division. I think the Jets should have to win a division. But I mean, like I said, but Tom Brady is ready to play. I mean, he's gonna get his contract. He's got some. I think the guy that's gonna go out and play will have a stellar year this year. Has been great at training camp is Randy Moss. So there's a contract here for him. So he's going to be ready to play. Now, can the Patriots' young defense come to play? That's where the question mark lies. How good will the Patriots' defense be this year?
And then looking at the AFC, Willie, I mean, you have the Colts, a team who went to the Super Bowl last year. And you also have, the Jets, a team everybody's talking about. Then the Ravens and the Bengals. Who do you see coming out the AFC? Because I really like the Cincinnati Bengals. But who do you see coming out
of
the AFC?
You know what? I like Baltimore, but I talked to Marshall Faulk, and I know Marshall told me they had a cornerback go down. You know, they've had lost a couple of defensive players with Baltimore, and he's worried about their secondary. But offensively, I like Baltimore.
Definitely.
I really like Baltimore offensively. Now, can the front seven of the Baltimore Ravens basically control the game, you know, and make sure that the secondary didn't have to do as much. That's the question mark. So I mean, it's gonna be hard to tell what's gonna happen because you know I like Baltimore. I like Baltimore a lot. But can that secondary hold up and they can create turnovers to help that offense? And that's gonna be the question mark for Baltimore. But I like you know, in the AFC, either Baltimore, you know, Cincinnati. Cincinnati's the sleeper team. Cincinnati's the sleeper team in the AFC.
We're talking to Willie Rofe, 11-time Pro Bowler. Willie's down there in New Orleans. It's the season. It's about to kick off tomorrow. Now, Willie, how's the fan base? How's everything going down there in New Orleans?
Oh, it's great, man. There's a lot of energy down here. They're so happy to be hosting this first game. They're so happy to get a Super Bowl win and earn the respect and give them a Hall of Famer like City. You know, people know him as Ricky Jackson, but people down here know him as City Champ. You know, I was a rookie practicing against City Champ every day. And, you know, the city's ecstatic with everything they've accomplished last year. You know, we had a little setback with the oil crisis and everything going on with that. But other than that, I mean, the city's excited. Everybody's excited about the opportunity to go out and repeat. And if they go out and repeat, they know they'll go down as one of the greatest teams in NFL history for that period. And we'll really add a legacy to this franchise.
Now, well, I want to talk about some NFL headlines now. Albert Haynesworth, the whole situation with him, there's talk that he could be traded to the Titans or could be traded to somebody. And he played the fourth preseason game, the last preseason game. None of the starters usually play in that game, and he played pretty much the whole game. What do you think about Shanahan's treatment of him?
I don't agree with it. I think he's a vet, and he's proven himself. I hope he has a good year. You know, Shanahan's putting a lot of pressure on him to have a good year. He's a vet, but he's been in the league 6-7 years, but he's got to have a good attitude and go out there and work hard. They gave him that money. That money puts responsibility on your back, and I hope that he can go out and he can have a good year this year and play well. And that's on him, you know. He's got to get motivated and stop talking about his back and all this other stuff and go out there and play football. The preseason's over with. So we're not talking about the preseason no more. It's regular season football now. I don't care where they line him up, he can make plays. So he's got to decide to go out there and perform and play at a high level. Now, Shanahan has only put pressure on him, even if they have to keep him, for him to perform. That's all he's trying to do.
Do you agree with his methods? I mean,
I think that's how coaches do when they have a guy that's not in their system has a reputation to Haynesworth. I will say this. Some players have a reputation. Haynesworth had a reputation. I don't think Haynesworth was fit to play and came out and played at a high level. If Haynesworth had came out and played good last year, I think Shanahan would have been a lot easier on him. But the fact that he didn't come out and play at a high level last year made Shanahan make him accountable. So Shanahan's only making him accountable like he's making the other guys accountable, and the guys know that. But, you know, it's a point where you got to let it go and let the guys police it in the locker room and let his teammates get after him and let them do some of that. His teammates will take care of that too now. It's not just the coach. His teammates have to get on his back also.
Because, I mean, one of the things, Willie, that I think, you know, that the teammates really aren't even really being given a chance to police him. And, like, guys like Donovan McNabb, the guys that they did bring in that maybe could be a bit better or a more competitive influence, you see Donovan had to come to his rescue almost. And I think it's almost embarrassing to the team because no one's talking about the Redskins other than this debacle. And, you know, if it's good for them, we're yet to see. But I think one thing that's certain is, you know, I don't think it can be good for the player. I think it all you're doing is reinforcing to him every time you hear on the news that, you know, they don't want him in the Redskins organization.
You know, when it comes out to media, they're going to trade him and all that. It just adds divisiveness for everything. But like I said, I mean, he's putting a lot of pressure on Haynesworth to perform. And you know, I just hope Haynesworth goes out and all that. I hope the Redskins as well. More important, like you were talking about, McNabb's got to stay healthy. And we talked about that. McNabb's got to stay healthy. McNabb needs to worry about making sure he can be down to McNabb this year and get around and move around and do the stuff. So in that offense, he's got to move around. You know, with that ankle injury, they haven't missed the last couple weeks. McNabb's got to stay healthy. And that was the question mark. We talked about Cole and McNabb. I said, if McNabb can stay healthy, I think he can have a good year because they're going to be able to run the ball. And Cole's a young quarterback, and he's still got to learn a lot. But like I said, McNabb needs to worry about what McNabb's got to do. But like I said, he can't police him is the coaches doing it, and a lot of that goes on behind closed doors. It doesn't have to be talked about in the media. It has to be done in a locker room with the guys every day, going to work with them every day, and that's where you take care of that. You know, it's not done out in the media. A lot of this stuff with him has been done in the media, you know, and some of that he brought on himself too, though. You know, you bring that on yourself also with the way you act and your actions. And he decided to hold out and then not go to whether practice or minicamp, so, you know, he brought some of that on himself.
Now, Willie, the season's about to start. AFC, NFC, how do you see the Super Bowl shaking out? Who's going to be in the Super Bowl? Who's going to be the NFL champions at the end of the year?
Sooth. You got to give me you. I'll tell you what. I need a little time to shake that. I mean, can I get a couple of weeks, a week or two?
Here's a guy, Paul, we certainly know is not. Don't take Willie to Vegas.
The next time I come on the air, I'll be able to have you by some bold prediction. You got to let me think about that.
All right, so Willie, we'll bring you back next week. We'll talk about week one and everything, and we should be able to get a Super Bowl prediction by then. Is that fair?
That's fair.
You're cheating, Willie. I mean, you waiting for a week to make your decision. That's cheating.
Well, you know what? That's a smart bet, Paul. He'll wait till the Super Bowl to tell you who's going to be in it.
I'll think about it, and I'll give my prediction.
We'll wait till then, and we'll look forward to your prediction on this upcoming Super Bowl, and it should be interesting. We'll be waiting. We'll definitely be waiting. Thank you for stopping by, Willie. Thank you for your insight, man, and we're definitely going to be hearing from you throughout this season.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care.
Take care, Willie. So there you go, Paul. Super Bowl prognosticator.
We're going to be joined by Brian Stewart shortly, former Cowboy defensive coordinator, former Eagles secondary coach, and now defensive coordinator for the University of Houston. He's also going to give some insight on this NFL season because the season is starting tomorrow, and it should be exciting to get his insight and see how he feels about this upcoming season. Brian?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Doing well. What's happening? Talk to me.
Now, Brian, you're a guy who's very familiar with the NFC East and the NFC as a whole. They're looking at things right now. There's a lot of talk. I'm going to start with the NFC East. There's a lot of talk about the Dallas Cowboys. And you know, you've been hearing it actually for the past couple of years. They had the Hard Knocks show, and that whole Hard Knocks show was talking about this team being the most talented team and this team taking that next step and winning the Super Bowl. Are the Dallas Cowboys going to take that next step and win the Super Bowl this upcoming year?
I don't know. I'm not good at predicting things like that, but what I will say that I think defensively they've done some things to shore up some different spots. I think the young safeties they have aren't as experienced as the ones they've had in the past, but they're athletic, they can cover man, and that's what Wade likes to do. So I think they got an opportunity on that side of the ball defensively. And offensively, I just worry about the offensive line. I think that, you know, you're going to wear Tony Romo out if he's going to have to run all the time. If he could just sit in there and zip the ball in and hand the ball off, maybe they got a chance to be at least a two playoff win team.
Right. Now, and looking at the Cowboys, and you're very familiar with that team. My thing is, and I hear a lot of talk about this team taking that next step, but I'm a guy who's a little afraid that Tony Romo will not be able to take that next step and ultimately lead his team to the Super Bowl. Am I warranted in believing that, Brian?
No, you know, I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's one of the elite quarterbacks. I think he shows that by, you know, his quick release, his accuracy. I just think that he wears down towards the end of the season. So I think if they could keep him like he was last year, I think last year towards the end of the season, he didn't wear it down. So he was able to make a resurgence instead of playing, leveling out, I guess, towards the
right receiver.
So I just think if they could keep him healthy, keep him where he doesn't have to scramble and run around early in the season, he'll be better towards the end of the season.
I do agree that he's certainly, statistically an elite quarterback. But can he make that jump to being an elite regular season quarterback to a postseason quarterback? I mean, even Peyton Manning had struggles in the postseason and was winning MVPs. Is Romo a guy who can take them to the Super Bowl?
Well, you know what? And Wade said this 3 years ago. I think it holds true as I watch what's happening with quarterbacks in the league. The more you go to the playoffs, the better you get. The better you know how to anticipate things. The speed of the game is different in the playoffs. And then so you got to catch up. And I think he's catching up. When he's going to be fully caught up, I don't know. But that seems to be the deal. The more playoffs you go to, the better chance you got of winning them. You know, we forget Roethlisberger went to the playoffs his rookie year. And kept going. Then the next year they go to Super Bowl. So he had an opportunity to keep going. Now it's hard for him to flinch in a playoff game because he knows what's going to happen. He knows the speed of the game. He understands the speed of the game. Nothing's going to intimidate him.
Now, you're very familiar with the NFC East, and you're very familiar, obviously, with Donovan McNabb. And looking back at it now, the Eagles traded into Washington. And you are familiar with Kevin Cobb as well. Do you think that Kevin Cobb is ready to take the job in Philadelphia?
You know, I don't. You know, it's funny, those things. Did anybody think Aaron Rodgers was prepared to take the job in Green Bay? I mean, I think everyone would agree his best game that made them believe he could do it is when he played against us in 07 because we knocked out Brett Favre. Then everybody said Brett Favre was through, and then last year he was an interception away, a play away of going to the Super Bowl. So, all that said, I don't know. I just think you really got to see. You never know how a person's going to respond. You don't know how the people are going to respond around him. You know, he doesn't have
right.
Westbrook. He doesn't have some of the things that Donovan had early. He doesn't have the only thing that he does have. Is that he had a chance to know the system, learn the system, and execute the system while somebody else was starting.
And then speaking of Donovan McNabb, I believe that Donovan has 2 to 3 good years of solid football left in him. What kind of year do you expect from Donovan in Washington?
You know, I think he's going to do fine. I've always been a Donovan McNabb fan, playing against him. As well as being on the same sideline with him. I think 16 games is a long time. There's a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really predict and say, hey, he's going to be 2 years or 3 years. I just know that he can stay healthy. He's going to be productive. That's a West Coast offense that uses the same terminology that it used to use it. They boot a little more. Shanahan's known to move the quarterback out the pocket, especially when he had Jake Plummer, so I'm sure he'll do the same thing. Now they have Donovan. Donovan has an extreme strong arm, so he can throw the outs, throw the comebacks, and, you know, throw those saves. So I think he's going to be successful. Now, how successful, I don't know, but I know they have a chance to win a few games there.
Now we're talking to Brian Stewart, former Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator. Now defensive coordinator for University of Houston. Now, Brian, Brett Favre's coming back for one more year now, and he is a guy in the Minnesota Vikings. They were his interception away from going to the Super Bowl. I'm of the mind that the Minnesota Vikings will take a step back this year, and I think Brett Favre will start acting his age. How do you see Brett Favre in the Vikings?
I think Brett never ceases to amaze you. I did a study in 2006 when I was a DB coach for the San Diego Chargers of the quarterback who threw the most interceptions. and it was Brett Favre. And so 2006, I was just like, man, you wouldn't want Brett Favre to be your quarterback. Here it is, 2010 season, and last season he was 40-something years old, and they almost, he's an interception away from the Super Bowl. So he's never ceased to amaze me. I don't know if he's healthy. I think he has the opportunity to do some fabulous things. And if anything else breaks down, he could be the 2006 Brett Favre, 2005 Brett Favre.
And that, I'm expecting a lot to see the 2006 and 2005 Brett Favre. I don't expect to see what I saw last year. I mean, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. I mean, that's not even Favre-like.
it's funny. I thought that despite his success, I thought he was a guy that kind of served it up to the defense at times. But he proved a lot of us wrong this past season. And I think the aura that he brings to a young team that has some superior athletes and a good defense, it was astounding. I mean, it really showed.
But I mean, I guess we just had Willie Rofe on, and Willie is a big Brett Favre fan as well. He comments on this really having this season for even Brett Favre. He says has to come from Adrian Peterson. He believes Peterson has to have, you know, not an even better year than or a career year for him. And I tend to agree. I think, as Paul said, if you look at his stats from last year and you see his stats and where the Vikings went, had they not gone to the NFC Championship, maybe everyone says, well, maybe they could do it. But his stats are what led them to that championship. And I don't think you're going to see an argument there. I don't think anyone's going to say, well, Favre didn't have that year, they were still going to get as far as they did. Without Favre, they would have probably not even made the playoffs. So how can they, you know, how can Favre duplicate that year?
I don't know. You know, I think people need to give Brad Childress a lot more credit than they're giving him. Remember, they went to the playoffs before Brett Favre was there. So it's not like they can't go to the playoffs, they can't be successful. Now, Brett Favre brings them over that hump. It gives them consistency at quarterback, and the consistency you need at quarterback is for the little things, not the big arm, not being able to run, but knowing when to throw, when to run, and when to try to use your big arm. And I think that's something that Brett Favre really added to him. And also huge, huge leadership. He was able to get things happening for those guys because they believed in him. Now, again, Brad Childress brought him to the playoffs before without Brett Favre. Now, obviously, they didn't go to the Super Bowl, but to me, if you don't go to the Super Bowl, it doesn't matter going to the playoffs. You didn't go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
I've always felt like that. I was on a staff. We were 14-2, San Diego, and we lost to the New England Patriots. We didn't go, but we had the best record in the league. I was on the Dallas, defensive coordinator of the Dallas team. It was 13-3, best record in the league, and we lose the first round playoffs. It's you got to go to the Super Bowl. You got to go to the big dance. And as long as you keep going to the tournament, you got an opportunity to go to the big dance. You're just going to get better, better, and better. Now, they lost their chance last year. So do I think they'll be in the playoffs? I think they'll play competitive enough to be in the playoffs. Nah.
I think they'll make the playoffs. But like you said, I mean, it takes a lot to get back to that point. And they made it all the way to the NFC title game. It takes a lot to get to that point. And it's not. There's no guarantee that you'll get back there. And I just don't think – I mean, I think Brett Favre almost has to duplicate what he did last year. And I don't see it happening. I really don't. Now, Brian, you were a guy who when you were a defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, you were on Hard Knocks, the HBO show. How was it being on that show and knowing that you have the cameras rolling and at all times? How was it?
You know, you just gotta coach. I'm a person that wear my emotions on my sleeve, so I'm the same all the time. If I'm mad, I'm mad. If I'm happy, I'm happy. I think you just gotta do that. You gotta ignore the cameras. you just gotta coach. Because if you don't, you're gonna miss something. You're gonna miss the detail. You're gonna miss something that you really want the players to hear, or really want the players to know, or something that you really want to emphasize. Would I rather them not be there? Of course. I think that I always felt I don't want to share our circle, our inner circle, with anybody. That's always been my thought. But obviously, it wasn't up to me. So, I think a lot of coaches are kind of split. I think if you ask some coaches on different staff, I think some would say, "Yeah, I like to," some would say, "Yeah, I like to be able to have the hard knocks in," and the other guys would say, "No, I'm not gonna be able to do what I want to do. I'm not gonna be able to do it myself. I don't want that."
Did you find that some guys were playing to the camera?
I'm sure there were guys that were. I haven't seen it since the season. I haven't seen it since it was on. And I'm sure there was. I've plenty of times people have asked me, did I feel that? And I haven't seen it enough or dissected enough to say, hey, that guy's out of character, this guy's out of character, or whatever.
Right.
I haven't. So I just know, I think for the most part, it's easier to do your job when you're not under a microscope. I think we all would agree upon that.
Right, definitely. Now, Brian, speaking of Hard Knocks, the New York Jets are on that show, and everybody's favorite. I mean, everybody's loving the Jets. And, I'm a guy, again, who believes that it all comes down to Mark Sanchez, and I just don't think Mark Sanchez can make enough plays for them to win it. How do you feel about the Jets?
I think they're playing good defense. I think Coach Ryan is one of the great defensive minds in football right now. I just think he's real creative. He's not scared to think outside the box when it comes to pressures and doing some things. Offensively, I don't know. I think it's a quarterback league. It's the lead
right.
Quarterback to where you want to go. I mean, look at the Tom Brady's, the Manning's, the Favre's, that's what happens. Is Sanchez there? I don't know. He hasn't showed the tenacity that you would like to see from that kind of quarterback, from a quarterback on an elite team. Now, does that mean he is one or isn't? I can't say that because I'm not around him. I don't hear what he says in the meeting. I don't see what kind of command he has with his team. I don't see that interaction, and I couldn't see enough of it on the Hard Knocks because so much is cut from those things.
Right.
So
now you're a guy who knows defense. Is that Jets defense the best defense in football right now? On paper, obviously.
You know what happens a lot of times on defense where nobody really, really wants to admit different things, but the schedule always helps you out. If you were third place in your league, in your division, or fourth place in your division, you're going to play a fourth place schedule. When we were in San Diego, the year me and Wade Phillips got there, it was after the 4-12 year. So we get there, and then that following year it was after the 4-12 year. Then the following year, we were there our first year. We were 12-4, go to the playoffs, lose to the Jets. The reason why we were 12-4 is we played a weaker schedule.
Right.
We won the AFC West, and then we go in the AFC West. After we win, the following year, we played six or seven of the teams that were in the playoffs. And we traveled to the East Coast. That following year, we were 9-7. We get a second-place schedule, and then we're 14-2. So the schedule kind of helps you. It helps you defensively, too. If you're playing against an offense that doesn't pass, you play against the Miami Dolphins right now, the past 2 years, they're not going to pass the ball. So you play against them twice, your defense is going to be ranked high passing defense. They just don't pass. Now, Steve Brady's not playing. So I'm not saying that they're not the best. What I am saying that who they play has helped them out tremendously.
Okay. Now, Brian, you're in looking at this upcoming NFL season now, do you have a favorite? Do you have a team that you think is going to win it all?
No, I don't. I think probably because I'm too analytical on the thing, but I don't. I think Philly has some offensive weapons that should put them in a situation, but they've changed over so many people on defense, I'll be worried there. So there's so many different things I go back and forth looking at.
So, Brian, we can't get past all the analyzing. We can't put you down for one team, Brian, that is going to be the Super Bowl champion.
No, can't do it.
Don't overthink this, Brian. You're overthinking this.
I'm not overthinking. I can't do it. I've looked at it. I like the Saints offensively. I think if they ever get caught where they turn the ball over, their defense, and I think they have a great defensive coordinator, a great defense, but I don't know if they could hold up. I think they're small up front. I just think they have to score. If they don't score, they're going to have some problems.
Now, Brian, I want to ask you this. I mean, you're a defensive guy and you're a defensive coordinator, been in a defensive coordinator in the league and now a defensive coordinator on a collegiate level. The whole Albert Haynesworth situation, as a coach, would you have handled that differently?
I think you got to hold everybody to the same standards, to the same standards that you believe will get you the win. And I think that's all that Shanahan's done. Shanahan has always been easier on his veterans. But he's been easier on his veterans who have performed and have always done everything he's asked them to do. And then now, if you don't perform, you don't do what's asked of you, to be at this meeting, to be on time for this, to work out for this, to pass your fitness test, do all those things. I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, I think he can handle the situation the best way, because you got to be consistent. The general has to be consistent.
Right.
When you stop being consistent, you're going to have a lot of chinks in your armor. And then they're going to keep getting bad.
But do you treat superstars better than you treat the 53rd man on the roster?
I think you're just smart with it. I think you're consistent and you're smart with it.
Right.
I think Shanahan's done a good job about this. Yeah.
Now, Brian, right now you're coaching at the University of Houston. How's things going down there for you?
Man, I'm real excited. We play UTEP Friday night. So it's going to be – I think we're playing like at midnight. I mean, it's a late game. We're 9:20, 10:20 Eastern time. I'm excited. I'm real excited. We switched over from a 4-3 to a 3-4. We got guys that are chasing the passer. We're small, but we're fast. And our offense scores like I've never seen somebody score before. So it's an exciting time for me and my family.
Well, Brian, we wish you nothing but luck during this upcoming season. And we thank you for stopping by, Brian. And maybe you can stop on by later again. We'll talk some more football, Brian.
Sounds good. Thank you for the invite. I always appreciate it, Paul. I really do.
Take care, sir.
All righty. Take care.
Brian Stewart, former Cowboys defensive coordinator, now defensive coordinator for the University of Houston. Just like Brian and just like Willie, I'm not going to give you my Super Bowl prediction today. Hopefully you'll tune in on Saturday and I'll give my prediction there. But it should be an exciting year. Vikings, Saints get started tomorrow. Some say it's the most wonderful time of the year. I would disagree. The NBA playoffs are the most wonderful time of the year. But it should be interesting to see what happens as this upcoming season unfolds. And it should be very good. And looking forward to it. And I think everybody in America and throughout the world are looking forward to it. So it should be interesting. I want to thank Willie Rowe for stopping by. Expect to hear a lot from Willie throughout this season. We also want to thank Brian Stewart, former Cowboys defensive coordinator,
and now University of Houston defensive coordinator. You can listen to past shows at blogtalkradio.com/begin. That's blogtalkradio.com/begin, where you can listen to this show and past shows. For Jeremy Espy, this is Paul Kent. See you later. Bye.